Today is Thursday, January 30th. What to know today about what could be the end of the impeachment trial, how the coronavirus is impacting U.S. companies, and Kobe Bryant's wife Vanessa's first public statement since the tragedy. Plus, we're talking about the end of a major mission in space, Google's new video app, and why hot sauce sold out in minutes. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Know Thursday, where we're doing something a little different today. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. More Q&A today in President Trump's impeachment trial, and there's now talk that this thing could wrap up by the end of this week. Maybe. More on that in a moment, but first today, the 100 senators acting as the jury will again get to ask both the prosecution and defense whatever they want. They started that process yesterday, and it was a pretty partisan affair. The New York Times reports Democrats seemed to ask questions that aligned with their view, backing the argument that President Trump pressured Ukraine to investigate his political rivals so he could interfere in this year's election and give himself an advantage. While Republicans tried to use their questions to make the case that Trump didn't do anything wrong. In fact, President Trump's defense team said yesterday, even if Trump did something that would help him get elected, but he was still doing it in the public's interest, he shouldn't be impeached for it. The prosecution, made up of House Democrats, called that argument, quote, very odd, saying any corrupt motivation is a problem. Either way, the vote everyone's waiting for will likely happen tomorrow. Senators will decide if they'll subpoena new witnesses, and the outcome will either mean the trial continues with new witnesses and maybe new evidence, or it could end very quickly. As of early this morning, Republicans say they now do have enough support to block new witnesses. And if that happens, The Hill reports, they could choose to vote on the articles of impeachment right then and there, deciding whether to remove Trump from office or not, and then the trial would be over as soon as tomorrow. We'll see if it plays out that way. To be continued. The U.S. has now evacuated more than 200 Americans from the city of Wuhan in China, the epicenter of the new viral outbreak there. ABC News reports the evacuees took a charter flight to a California Air Force base yesterday and will now stay in isolation for at least 3 days. If anyone starts to show symptoms of the pneumonia-like virus, they could be held for up to 2 weeks. These are all precautions to make sure the virus doesn't start spreading here in the U.S. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization will meet again today to decide if it needs to declare a public health emergency. They're reconsidering it since the number of cases in China just keeps going up. At least 170 people have now died in China, and nearly 8,000 others have gotten sick. The Washington Post reports this new coronavirus has now made more people sick than the 2002 SARS outbreak. Schools in Beijing have closed indefinitely, and there's still a travel ban for about 50 million people in and around Wuhan. But keep in mind, it is not spreading within the U.S. at this point. Still, some U.S. companies are affected, like Facebook and Apple. They've had to shut down some of their operations in China or take other precautions for employees there. It could even impact products sold in the U.S. since some Chinese factories are closed right now. Also, major airlines have canceled some flights to China. The overall impact on the economy is still TBD. So the Federal Reserve is keeping a close eye on that coronavirus and how it might affect the global economy. But for now, they're leaving interest rates the same. After cutting them 3 times last year to give the economy a bit of a boost, the Federal Reserve decided to leave the benchmark interest rate where it is. So between 1.5% and 1.75%. That's because the U.S. economy is in a pretty good place right now. NBA legend Kobe Bryant's wife, Vanessa, made a public statement for the first time since the helicopter crash that killed her husband and 13-year-old daughter. She posted a picture of the entire family to Instagram with a long caption thanking everyone for their prayers. She said they're devastated, but also blessed to have had Kobe and Gigi in their lives. She also said she's devastated for the other families who lost loved ones and directed her followers to donate to a fund to help support them. We'll put a link to it in today's show notes. At the same time, nearly 3 million Kobe Bryant fans have signed a petition hoping to get the NBA to change its logo to an image of the NBA legend. Right now, the logo features a silhouette that unofficially is known to be another Lakers legend, Jerry West, but even West agrees it's time to change it. Yahoo Sports is reporting the NBA will likely want to keep the logo as it is, so it's a more generic silhouette, since so many people have been crucial to the league's success. But either way, murals and memorials of Brian are all around Los Angeles, and many are hoping something more permanent will be put up. And after today's news, you'll hear from Kobe Bryant directly. We'll play a clip from a 2018 interview with him for today's Thing to Know Thursday. All right, how about some lighter sports-related news now? The Super Bowl is this Sunday, and millions of Americans already have plans to skip work the next day. A new survey found around 17.5 million people will miss work because of the so-called Super Bowl fever. USA Today reports that's the largest number since the Institute started tracking in 2005. About 11 million workers will use pre-approved time off, while the rest plan to call out sick or just not show up. The Kansas City Chiefs and San Francisco 49ers play in the big game this Sunday. All right, we have more news ahead, but first a quick break for our sponsor this week, a go-to app for learning new things quickly and on the go. It's called Blinkist, and it's great if you're like me and you love personal and professional development, but you can't always find the time to read every book on your list. Blinkist works on your phone, tablet, or web browser, and it gives you the key takeaways, the need-to-know main points from thousands of nonfiction books. So you can read them or listen to them in just about 15 minutes. It's great for a quick commute, or I like to read Blinkist whenever I'm waiting around for something, yet still want to be productive. There's a huge library to choose from. You can check out popular books like Sea Stories, My Life in Special Operations, or Crashed, How a Decade of Financial Crises Changed the World. And right now, Blinkist has a special offer. Go to Blinkist.com/news to try it free for 7 days and then save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/news to start your free 7-day trial and then receive 25% off only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/news. Now, back to the news. One of NASA's most successful missions ends today. The Spitzer Space Telescope is being turned off. Space.com says it changed our view of the universe. It discovered planets outside of our solar system using infrared light and even uncovered the largest ring around Saturn that couldn't be seen from Earth-based telescopes. The telescope's mission was only supposed to last about 2.5 years. Instead, it spent 16 years orbiting the sun. Now it will quietly shut down and put itself to sleep. USA Today says a new telescope will take Spitzer's place next year. This new one is apparently 1,000 times more powerful. Another short-form video app is now available. This one is from Google, and it's called Tangi, or Tangi. It's spelled T-A-N-G-I. It's a place people can find high-quality how-to videos for things like cooking or makeup tutorials. It's definitely different from other short-form apps like TikTok or the Vine sequel called Bite, which focus more on entertainment. TechCrunch says you can search the app for a DIY video or scroll through the feed, and if you end up trying to create what's in the video, there's a section on the app where you can share your attempt. Not everyone can upload videos, though, at least not yet. Creators have to apply to post to the Tangi video app. So it's official now. MoviePass is done. The service was shut down in September, and there was hope it could make a comeback, but Engadget says the company who owns MoviePass filed for bankruptcy, so now it's all over. The service was really popular at first, offering all-you-can-watch movies for a low monthly fee, but eventually it ran out of money and couldn't buy movie tickets for customers anymore, so it had to shut down. The company apparently tried to sell the service, but no one was interested. The iconic and beloved regional spice mixture Old Bay released a limited edition hot sauce, and it sold out within an hour. NBC News says Maryland-based McCormick & Company announced the Old Bay hot sauce on social media yesterday, and within 40 minutes, it was all gone. Now, some people are trying to sell the $4 bottle of hot sauce for $50 on eBay. The company says it'll be restocking the hot sauce soon. All right, that's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know only on Thursdays after the news. And this week, we're doing something a little different. Instead of having an expert or friend of Kobe Bryant talk about him, I thought it would be most powerful and inspiring to just hear from and learn from Kobe Bryant himself. Lewis Howes from the popular podcast The School of Greatness was kind enough to give me permission to run this clip from his interview with Kobe Bryant back in 2018. So here's a bit of that conversation where the NBA legend talks about his Mamba mentality, his family, and what greatness means to him.
Who was the greatest teacher for you in those early days?
That's funny, man. I had a lot of them. You know, my parents,
were great. You know, growing up, you know, they instilled in me the importance of imagination, of curiosity, and understanding that, okay, if you want to accomplish something, I'm not just going to sit here and say, yes, you can do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can, but you have to also put in the work to get there, right? So they taught me that at a really early age, man. And when you grow up as a kid thinking that the world is your oyster, all things are possible if you put in the work to do it, you know, you grow up having that fundamental belief.
Yeah. Who was more influential for you, your father or mother?
Both were influential at different points.
Yeah.
Right. My my mom was there on a daily basis. My father was really influential at a really critical time where I had a summer where I played basketball when I was like 10 or 11 years old in a very prominent summer league in Philadelphia called the Sunny Hill League, where my father played, my uncle played, and they were like all-time greats and such stuff. And Wilt Chamberlain played in the league, you know, Earl of Pomeroy played in the league. And here I come playing, and I don't score 1 point the entire summer.
Really?
Not one.
How old were you?
11, 10, 11.
And you're playing against other 10, 11-year-olds? Uh-huh. And you didn't score once?
Not one.
Were you in the game?
I was in the game.
How did you not score?
Because I was terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
That happened. 10, 11 years old, you were that terrible.
Awful. I mean, and I had these big knee pads on because I was throwing really fast. I have socks all the way up here, and I had like the high top.
Skinny, yeah.
Like skinny as hell. And I scored not a free throw, nothing, not a lucky shot, not a breakaway layup, 0 points. And I remember crying about it and being upset about it. My father just gave me a hug and said, listen, whether you score 0 or score 60, I'm going to love you no matter what.
Wow.
Now, that is the most important thing that you can say to a child. Because from there, I was like, okay, that gives me all the confidence in the world to fail. I have the security there. But to hell with that, I'm scoring 60. Let's go.
Right, right.
Right. And from there, I just went to work. I stayed with it. I kept practicing, kept practicing, kept practicing.
Is that when you think the mentality of hard work started to come in for you at that age when you failed so miserably, I guess, that summer?
I think that's when the idea of understanding a long-term view became important, because I wasn't going to catch these kids in a week. I wasn't going to catch them in a year, right? So that's when I sat down and said, okay, this is going to take some thought, right? Mm-hmm. What do I want to work on first? All right, shooting. All right, let's knock this out. Let's focus on this. Half a year, 6 months, do nothing but shoot. Right after that, all right, creating your own shot, and then you focus. So I started creating a menu of things. Mm. When I came back the next summer, I was a little bit better. Right,
and menu being like, I've got my jump shot from 15. I've got my
I got my 3-point shot, like just open shots, not miss open shots. Right, and be able to shoot it with speed because those kids are so much more athletic.
Yeah,
and then the next summer I came back, I was a little better. And the summer came back.
You
scored. Next summer it was a little better. I scored.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't much.
Right.
But I scored.
And this is 12, 13.
12, 13. And then 14 came around, back half of 13, 14 years old. And then I was just killing everyone. And it happened in 2 years. And I wasn't expecting it to happen in 2 years, but it did, because what I had to do was work on the basics and the fundamentals. Well, they relied on their athleticism and their natural ability. And because I stick to the fundamentals, it just caught up to them. And then my body, you know, my knees stopped hurting. I grew into my frame. And
then your athleticism, once you have the fundamentals,
exactly,
the hard work, the mindset, and you tack on the athleticism,
then it's game over. Then it was game over.
Wow. So from 13, you're good, average still?
I was good. And then about the, like the end of my third, like right when I was turning 14, I became the best player in the state.
At 14.
At 14.
So from 12 to 14, you went from scoring 0 to being the best in the state of all ages.
Yep. But it's simple. Like if you do the math on this, right? Like if you're thinking about how often kids are playing, right? And I tell this to my daughter and my daughter's team as well that I coach. It's a simple thing of math. If you want to be a great player, if you play every single day, 2-3 hours, every single day over the course of a year, how much better are you getting? Most kids will play maybe, you know, an hour and a half, 2 days a week.
Right.
Put the math on that. It's not going to get it done. It's not going to get it done. Right. So if you're obsessively training 2-3 hours every single day over a year, over 2 years,
you're going to accelerate.
You make quantum leaps, man.
Just doing a summer camp for 2 weeks, you see a difference. I remember playing basketball.
You see like, it.
You get a lot better. You come back more confident playing on the playground with guys who used to beat you.
Yeah. And I tell the parents on my team, I said, it's when I say, oh, your kids are going to become great basketball players. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, it's not. There's no
it's math.
It's it.
Show up every single day.
Do the work.
And what brings you the most joy right now?
Being with my family.
Really?
That is, man, that is the most fun. It's just, you know, it's hanging out with them all summer, being able to like do things that I ordinarily couldn't do.
Yeah.
Because of training, because of season, and stuff like that. So being around them and watching Bianca grow up, because there are a lot of things that I miss with Natalia and Gianna because I was playing. So being there every day with them is so much fun, man. So it brings me the most joy.
That's amazing. And what does love feel like for you?
What does love feel like? I think I would describe love as happiness. I think I'd describe it as a beautiful journey. You know, it has its ups and downs, right? Whether it's in marriage or whether it's in the career, you know, things are never perfect.
Yeah.
But through love, you continue to persevere and you move through them. You move through them. And then through that storm, beautiful sun emerges.
Yeah.
Right? And inevitably, another storm comes. And guess what? You ride that one out too.
Yeah.
So I think love is a certain determination and persistence to go through the good times and the bad times with the someone or something that you truly love.
The final question is, what's your definition of greatness?
I think the definition of greatness is to inspire the people next to you. Yeah, I think that's what greatness is or should be. It's not something that lives and dies with one person. It's how can you inspire a person to then in turn inspire another person that then inspires another person. And that's how you create something that I think lasts forever.
Yeah.
And I think that's our challenge as people, is to figure out how our story can impact others and motivate them in a way to create their own greatness.
And I highly recommend watching the entire interview. Yes, there's video as well, and it's about 45 minutes long. Just go to lewishouse.com/691. I'll put a link in today's episode description so it's easy to find. Thank you again to Lewis House from The School of Greatness for allowing us to play that clip. As always, you can read more about all the news stories we talked about today. Just go to thenewsworthy.com/show notes and look for today's date. Thank you so much for listening. The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 a.m. every weekday. We'll be back with more news tomorrow. Have a great day.